Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path, coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to be with you this fine evening.
Maybe.
It feels like cuddles to me, is what it feels like.
Unless you're a criminal.
Or me.
Hey, criminals need cuddles too.
Not until they change their ways.
That's a new public service announcement.
I had to stop wearing a pocket watch too. Because of that.
Hey, did you really have a pocket watch?
I used to have a pocket watch.
What?
Did you use it, like, legitimately, like a pocket watch?
Well, here's the deal.
Please tell me people made fun of you.
All right, Boovin, now my wife got it for me, and it was an awesome pocket watch. It wasn't like a...
Jerk.
It wasn't
still
like a piece of timepiece. You know, it was a hip-looking pocket watch, and I carried it in my pocket forever until I figured out that I just don't like things in my pockets. And so I put it on my bag, my backpack, because I was that kind of guy.
Then
eventually I just lost it, and I don't know where it is now. It was pretty cool back in the day.
Shoot, that was anticlimactic. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what I thought the end of that story was going to be, but I thought it was going to be different than that.
It got me to my Dungeons & Dragons game on time, so...
I was expecting ninjas. I don't know what that's just kind of what I wanted out of it.
All right, here's the deal. Now that we've started the show poorly, I'm sorry. I can't promise any better. Here's what's going to go on with the show. Actually, I think the folks that are in the studio are going to redeem whatever we've done here poorly.
This is why we bring them in.
That's right. We got to buffer the card. To save the day. So here's what we got going on. If you're familiar with the show, we're going to do some things that you should recognize. Mike has some Pope-style advice, and so the premise here is that someone has mistaken some ne'er-do-well friend from high school, has told everyone down at the local Five and Dime or the pub that Mike is the Pope. And so now hundreds, no, thousands of folks have ended up on his front lawn, and they refuse to leave unless he comes out in his robe, underpants, whatever, and gives some sort of Pope-style advice to get them to leave the lawn. But the catch is it has to be something relevant to his life and ultimately to hopefully help in their walk as a Christ follower. So Mike's going to do that, and he's got some Pope-style advice. Mike, is there a preview?
Yeah, it actually has to do with what other people think a person who follows Jesus looks like. And
okay.
So I said a couple things and maybe have acted in a way that threw some people off earlier today. And so I just have some advice kind of in that range.
Okay. All right.
Can't imagine that.
I know, right? I took out my pocket watch and I said, I've got to go.
Time for Bible study.
What the heck?
Time for Bible study. All
right. I had the church bus bring me in.
So also, we've been following. There's a guy who said he used to love Jesus, and now he doesn't love Jesus, and he's got 10 reasons. 10 takeaways from this. And so we kind of walking through those, trying to understand where that's coming from. Maybe is there a way that as the often fallible bride of Christ that we've contributed to that, and we'll see if we relate to some of the things that he's going through. So we're going to talk through some of that stuff. Also, we've got some dear life from the past. Mike, people still need help.
Yeah, there's I can't remember what there was a 5 that was in fifth grade that's pretty upset she's not getting an iPod. I feel like we're probably not going to talk about a couple of things going on that people need some advice for. We're going to talk about. We're going to do a quick update on the homeless ministry that we got involved with.
Thankful Leper, yeah.
Yeah, for the Thankful Leper, and I think there's a lot of amazing stuff kind of going down. Not just what God's doing in that specific area, but just to do with people that I don't know that you think are outside of your range, that you think are outside of your purview, and that maybe the Lord has. You not dealing with, and I will talk a little bit about that.
Okay, cool. So that's the standard board affair that you may or may not be familiar with. Also in the studio, we got plenty of guests. We got three different folks in here, and I'm gonna let you introduce yourselves, and maybe just tell folks a little bit about yourself. Manny Hope, why don't you just tell us a little about yourself?
Well, I'm a hip hop artist from Newark, Ohio, and I just recently moved there. And been doing this ministry for going on 6 years now. So the Lord's done a lot of cool things, a lot of amazing things. And he's just going to continue to do things. And I'm just stoked to see what he's going to do next.
So did you, you said you're coming from Ohio, you're on the road now. Is this, did you see it going here? Like when you first got into this, was it something you were just kind of trying out? Or you jumped full feet in and said, I got to be hauling around?
You know, honestly, I didn't know what the Lord was going to tell me to do. You know, I just started off just doing songs just to just make them because the Lord was telling me, hey, start doing this ministry. And I'm like, oh, okay, I really don't want to, but I just was obedient and I just wrote what was on my heart and the situations I was going through at the time, and people just really connected to them.
Hey, man, every story of, like, the people that smell like Jesus, you guys know what I'm talking about, like, someone, like, is following Jesus so close you can smell it, you can smell Jesus on him. Almost every one of those guys has a story where it's like, the Lord told me to do this, and I didn't want to, but I did it anyway. Like, that's the start of almost every cool Jesus story I've ever heard. Starts with a guy who understands what God is asking him to do and is like, okay, and then does it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because, you know, he wanted me to do hip-hop ministry, and I'm like, I don't know anything really about hip-hop. I mean, I listened to it growing up and everything, but I'm like, I can't rhyme, you know? I'm white, you know? So, like, I mean, come on. So
actually, that's why Boova's tried to do that before, and I said, I would have said that exact same thing.
Awful.
Yeah, yeah, and then the beard's gone, and yeah, he's gone. So, no, I'm just joking.
I'm MC Creepy.
No, it's cool, though, because, I mean, you know, I never thought that I'd be traveling. You know, tomorrow we're going to be going to Kansas. I'm back here in Iowa, born and raised. So, I mean, I'm happy, you know. I'm really excited to see what the Lord's going to open, what doors he's going to open up next.
Cool.
So, and cool. I'm happy to be here and, you know, share my story. Going to bust some rhymes for you guys. So,
here's the deal. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be dope.
All right. We're gonna come back to you in just a second. I'm cool. Interested in that story and busting of rhymes. King totally. MC, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, my name's King MC. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I've been doing this since 2002, actually. And I didn't want to do this at all. How about that?
There you go.
This is a great story all of a sudden. But can you smell me? Can you smell me right now? Okay. Yeah, I didn't want to do this. I got saved, and I was like, I'll talk about you, God, in my music, but this is mine. This is mine.
Uh-huh.
And I went to a Rebecca St. James concert of all. Mm-hmm. Things, right? And she said, if there's anybody here that has a talent for God, God gave you that talent and he wants you to use that for him.
Yeah.
And I knew that she was talking to me, and right there I dedicated. I was like, okay, God, do what you're going to do with this.
Yep.
And he's done some pretty cool things with this so far. I mean, I'm right here with you guys right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's true. My mom's listening, so that's cool.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Well, she's not my mom. I don't know if
no,
my mom's
listening.
No, it's
fine. She can be everybody's mom.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'll work out. So you were doing music before? Like, before you were saved?
Right. It wasn't good. It wasn't. We used to listen to the secular rappers like Snoop Dogg, and we would take their instrumentals and write our own versions of those songs. And
uh-huh.
My mom actually found our lyrics one day.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, she was not cool with that at all. So then we started writing clean versions of those songs.
Yep.
And then those just didn't sound cool.
And leaving them strategically around the house. I love kittens.
Yeah.
Will Smith is the only one who can pull that.
Clean gangster rap isn't there isn't a market out for that. So
he stole my car. I'm like, hey, bro, do you think you could give that back to me? And then we like shook hands, and then we were buds.
We popped a cap off a 20-ounce of Pepsi and shared it together. You're right. It's way different.
It's like you're reading them right now. So.
Well, very cool. So is there a place, if someone that was interested in your music, is there a place someone can go check it out?
Yeah, definitely. They can find me on iTunes, King MC, or they can go to KingMCMusic.com. That's my website. I'm also on Facebook, Reverb Nation, all over the internet.
What's the MC part of the King?
Oh, mic controller, master of ceremonies.
Oh, sweet. So, yeah. Okay. It could have been something else. What, Mike? Don't look at me like that.
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey, right? Is that?
Oh yeah.
We learned that.
Matthew McConaughey,
right?
Hey,
just bend the words.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It's a bit Gumby, but
yeah.
All right, cool. And our other guests in the studio, River City Boy, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm a River City Boy. I'm a 17-year-old high school student from Lawrence, Kansas. That's actually where we're going.
What does the River City part stand for?
It's for Lawrence. I'm like sixth generation Lawrence. So, like, my great-great-great-grandpa.
Hey, that feels like that has some street cred, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, I'm sixth generation Lawrence.
I was Lawrence before you were Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool, though.
I walk around Lawrence like I'm Big Cheese.
I own this town.
But, yeah, River City is for Lawrence. We got that Kansas River running through downtown. So.
And so so how'd you get started? Like, I mean, you got to be fairly fresh, right?
Yeah, no, I started last year. I've written music all my life. My family's musical, but I actually really didn't like sharing my music with anybody at all. So this is sort of like all your guys's, but my brother-in-law and a couple other people in my family really supported me, so I decided might as well record it and just see what the Lord does with my music.
There you go. I feel like that's a good plan, right? Things that otherwise don't, you're like, you're unsure of, if you do it, and then like, the Lord's going to do what he wants with it, right? There's no reason to sweat that, right? Either he takes it somewhere, or he's like, man, I got you doing something else, and you move on. I like that stuff. All right, cool. Well, we're going to hear more from each of these guys as the night goes on. We're going to hear some music from them, and I'd like to get to know you guys a little bit more, a little more of your story, and how where you began brought you to where you are. So we'll be catching up with them just a little bit more later on. I want to get to our guy who left the faith. So the basic nature of this guy was he was a Christian, and he said that he I can't remember. Shoot, do you guys remember the intro of the story? Like, how did he get away from it? Did he just say, or he just kind of fell away from it?
I thought he just kind of decided to leave, and he was kind of weighed down by it, and he just needed freedom. That's how I took it.
Yeah, it seemed like he just kind of felt restricted by his faith, but didn't have a real specific, like, this issue happened, and then that's when I fell from the faith. It was more along the lines of my faith in general was restricting me and keeping me from the things that I wanted to do. It wasn't producing joy. It was just producing something different.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. Anyway, so, like,
that long-winded and garbly. Yeah, that's about right, I guess.
I mean, it went on
synopsis
for a while.
From Boobie.
Like, I don't know if I have to agree to it or not. So, anyway, this was part of a Time.com article, which was basically, here's after walking away from my faith, from my religion, here are the things that I'm walking away from. And I'm buying time because I've lost the article.
You know, actually, I haven't read the article, and if I were to look for it, I would have a hard time finding it, too. And so I would probably type in time.com in the internet.
That's what I'm working on.
It. And then let the...
You know, Mike, that's a good decision. I think that might be exactly what I would do also.
Here,
I'm looking specifically for a website, I would probably go to that website and then check it out on there.
Sweetness. All right, good.
That seems right.
Thanks, Dan. Dan's got it. Dan's
We're the best side men in the business, Booba.
Yeah. You guys are fantastic.
Just explain the entire internet.
Okay, anyway, so basically what I gained when I lost my religion, we went through number one and number two. The first one was he got peace of mind. The second one was a rediscovery of love of learning. So if you're interested in kind of our reaction to those, you can listen to the last couple weeks. Oh, boy. So number three is the ability to accept people I formerly judged. All right, welcome, can of worms. Religious belief taught me, for example, to judge the LGBT community for being attracted to anything other than the appropriate sex. It taught me that something is wrong with these people, and while it also taught me I'm supposed to love them and somehow accept them and reach out to them, I'm also supposed to condemn something that lies at the core of their identity. That's no longer an issue for me. The main reason most people I know condemn same-sex relationships is because of their religion. Leaving your religion can free you from that burden. I now count several of them as my most supportive friends. In fact, I have found that losing my religion has opened me up to a much wider range of people because I do not have a 2,000-year-old book. Hey, it's much older than that. Telling me how I should see the world. I think I am a better person for this change of mind. Okay, so of the list that I've seen so far, this one seems to be pretty consistent with I guess I would have anticipated this one.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know, fellas. Thoughts on that?
Okay, here's the deal. The thing that struck me that he said is like he didn't want to be on the condemning end of something that's the core of their identity.
Yeah.
And like, that doesn't apply in all situations, right? Like, for example, if you were out and about killing people, your identity is now a man who murders. You're a murderer, right? Like, would it be wrong of me to say, I need you to stop murdering? Right now, don't catch me off the train here. I'm not comparing the two of the topic that he's brought up. But what I'm saying is at the core of my identity, if what I do makes me who I am and I am a murderer, then that is indeed the truth, is it not? Right? So like condemning something for doing something that is harmful to one or harmful to another, I feel like you're just pointing out the truth in the matter.
That's actually a fairly large spiritual question, regardless of whether it's a Christian question or not, is to say, what lies at the core of my identity? Am I what I do all the time? Because generally you wouldn't describe yourself. I get this all the time, actually. There's people, there are people that have certain habits or things in their lives, and they'll say things like, and you'll talk to them about it and say, look, that's just not who I am. I'm like, well, when does the real you show up?
Yeah.
Because like that does look like
we're
you,
30 though. Years in the making, dude.
Those are the things that you do. And so it's a question of identity. Who are you? And it's weird because I think most people, you actually don't want to. I'm not sure that I would want someone following me around and saying, look at those things that I do during a day and say, that's me. Because I'm not sure that what I do all the time actually reflects who I am. I know who it is in Christ, but even taking that away from it. So I mean, you've tied basically actions or something you feel, something you do as part of your core identity. And that's actually I don't think we're going to solve that in 8 hours worth of talking, but like, it's an interesting concept when we drill it down. That seems actually a little too basic for me. On who you are. Who am I? I'm this.
I do one thing, so I'm this.
Like, who's the eunuch in an Egyptian court? Like, that guy has no identity.
Yeah.
I mean, now, granted, he actually felt that stigma in those times. But it's just interesting to bring that up in that type of way when your core identity is actually much more than that, I would say. You've lessened your identity by tying it to something that's specific.
I think part of his frustration he's had with religion is most of us in the church, myself included, we don't do the extremes very well, or actually we go very extreme. But we don't do acceptance very well,
yeah.
and we don't do judgment very well. We don't balance that with love and justice and saying, hey, by the way, that's a sinful thing. I love you as a person. You know, we can regurgitate that love the sin, hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah.
But we don't live either of them. So we have spew a lot of venom and or we just don't know what to say and we don't communicate very well quite often what God's plan is for sexuality. So it comes across as judgmental or completely so open-minded that, hey, you can do whatever you want. There is no such thing as sin. It's you were born that way. You can't help it. And so God loves you. So come on.
Well,
we go to extremes and we bounce all over the place.
And actually, he's telling the truth. And it's telling of his first two points, and this one included, like, you know, his religion was kind of bogging him down. I kind of agree with that, right? Like, he's trying to say that a religion told him to judge people by this and this and this. I'm like, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I know Jesus doesn't operate that way. And so maybe you're right. Maybe that religion that you subscribe to, you know, is pointing you to start casting stones. I don't think it's wrong to call sin a sin. I would do the same thing. Pick any sin. I would do the same thing for someone I loved and say, listen, this is separating you from God. Let's talk about this. You know, do you want to stick the track that you're on, or you know, do you have faith that God's offering a better way to operate? But like, it doesn't matter the specific sin that they're picking; they're just picking one and hammering on it because it's hot button and
right.
Because it'll cause trouble.
So when you take the words of God or you take the words of Jesus and you pull it out of His mouth and into the context of who He is as a God and as a person and as a Savior, and you pull that out and you just make it a poster on the wall, you're going to end up feeling like that. You know what I'm saying? Because when you, and that happens, actually, that's one of the major problems that I think we have trying to communicate what otherwise God had come to reveal, which is we pull things away from Christ and we make them, we fight over letters and we fight over words and we fight over actions. And if they were not out of the mouth of Christ, I don't care about them, right? But I care about them because of where they came from. And that means they have to sit within context of who He is and what He's done. And outside of that, if we're not, what we're doing is we're communicating words and actions of Christ and not communicating Christ. And then those things sit out of context, even if it's right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the risk that we run.
Yeah, this is something that Jesus did very well. And the proof is in the way.
Among
that,
other things.
He struggled in a few things, but this one.
This one he did really well.
He's the worst barber ever. But
okay, here's where I'm going with this. The proof is in the way that the sinners were receiving him. I mean, Jesus, he in no way equivocated on sin. He told it like it is, and he's well known as being one of the greatest moral teachers among his many identities. But look at the way that sinners hung out with him. Yeah, Jesus loved sinners. That's not surprising. But sinners loved being around Jesus. Here's a guy who is calling sin a sin, and they loved hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Hey, prostitutes, tax collectors, all those folks, all those icky people, they loved being with Jesus. Think about that for a second. I mean, now how does that compare to our approach to ministry? So
I was going to say, where is religion, for example, dropping that ball so badly?
I don't know, but in Jesus' day, religious people hated him. So
yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, and religion, you know, tends to to, write signs and go on the street corner and yell and say you're not going to heaven, God hates you, that kind of, and that type of thing. And I think that's where he has related to. The conversation has shifted, though. We're all coming from the context of, boy, that's a sin. It's a sinful action. And the conversation in our society has shifted to, no, it's not sin. They were born that way. They can't help it. It's you have to accept it. It's not sin. So now we're in two polar. It's not even a matter of are we judgment or not. They're like, you can't even say it's sin. It's not. See what I'm saying?
You're looking blank.
The way that I've seen it break down is I agree in part with Dan, is the fact that there's no point calling it a sin to these people. They don't care. Why would they care if it's a sin if they don't believe in the God that they're sinning against? Why would they care if they're breaking a law if they don't believe in the law system that they're breaking? There's no point to it.
They think we're trying to make them look like us rather than
and we're not.
Jesus.
I don't want any of them to look like me.
I don't want to look like Dan.
I don't want to look anything like Dan. No. I think it breaks down to the whole concept of approaching someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God with, hey, you're sinning, and approaching them in the way that they are doing something wrong versus, hey, I believe in a God that loves you entirely. I believe in a God that has taken care of all this for you. And they come at it from the standpoint of, I believe you're wrong against my God that you don't believe in.
That's exactly right.
And it makes no point.
We're good at lists. Here's a list of things you can't do. If you're going to be like me, if you're going to be part of our religion, here's the list.
Well, that's the thing is what religion actually boils down to, right, is you white-knuckling your way through life trying to change behaviors that are not in line with where your heart is.
Yeah, I'm not going to follow the laws of another country that I'm not under.
That's right.
There's no point.
Right,
I'm not a part of the kingdom of God. Why would I follow those laws? So we're trying to come at them and saying, hey, in Troytopia or in Boovaland, you need to make sure that you give me a nickel every Sunday. And if you don't live in Boovaland and don't care about my government or my system or my heart, why are you going to follow that? It's ridiculous. There's no point in me expecting you.
Yeah, it is.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage. I'm not paying you that nickel
for a razor.
No, it's ridiculous. We're coming at them and assaulting what they think is their identity. What they think is in their heart entirely, we're assaulting that before showing them that we have a bigger purpose. Our purpose is not to call sin out just because it's bad and against our God. Our purpose is to give them to the gift of God, give them the gift of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, bring them under that. Once that's happened, once they understand that love and that God and that grace that's there, then through that process, they understand, okay, now that I believe in this God, and now that I've accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God and my Lord and Savior and my King, I can start realizing that there's things that I'm doing that are going against his nature and against his will. God's commandments, first and foremost, were love God and love your neighbors yourself. It wasn't go out and give sin the biggest name in the world. It wasn't go out and win the morality issues. It was go out and talk about me, win them into my kingdom, and then they'll be under my rules.
Right, because ultimately what we've done is we've hijacked the work of Christ. We said, I'm going, as opposed to introducing the Jesus, we say, well, I'm going to tell him what Jesus would say.
Exactly.
Like, we're Jesus's poor emissary who doesn't do the right work.
Our first attack is, hey, you're sinning. You're wrong. You're doing something against God. Our first attack isn't, hey, guess what? There's a man that died for you. He was murdered for you and everything that he knows to be against him. Let's talk about the God that you don't believe in yet. Let's talk about how much he loves you and what he's done for you. And then we've made religion into this whole thing of, hey, let's talk about what you're doing wrong and make myself feel better. That's what religion does. Religion steps out and says, hey, world, you're wrong, I'm right. Let's talk about why you're wrong. And that's completely opposite of what we need to be doing. Jesus never told us to go out and point out sins of people that don't believe that it's sin.
No. And Paul was very specific about that, actually, about talking to folks within the church about where they're at and then how to talk to people who don't know Christ at all, right? And look at Christ's evangelism techniques, right?
Right.
He led with himself.
Exactly.
He led with himself and with his dad. He said, here's the deal.
I am.
Your love. You know, let's talk about that first.
Well, and you go through the book of Acts, Paul didn't go around talking about his moral list. He preached Jesus everywhere he went.
Yeah. That's right.
I preach Christ crucified, not I preach, hey, here's the things that you're bad with.
I preach a moral box. Here it is.
Let me preach to you this morality that you need
here's
to be
how
under,
you can
but
behave.
You don't have a reason to be under it.
By the way, it's going to be really tough, and you're going to fail at it all the time. Welcome to the kingdom.
We
have kind of shoved the Holy Spirit out of the equation.
Yeah.
You know, Holy Spirit has a pretty good job of convicting us of sin, and it's amazing you introduce someone to Jesus. Pretty soon they come to you with, wow, I really shouldn't be doing this, should I?
Yeah.
So, well,
hey,
you know,
listen, if you've never been on the receiving end of that conversation, you will your faith will increase like 50-fold. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been talking to a guy, and you're like, man, he's like a brick wall, this fella. And then all of a sudden, rolls up or calls you, and he's like, you know, I feel like I feel like I should stop doing what I'm doing. And you're like,
yes,
profanity. I can't believe he said that. You know what I'm saying? You're blown away. And it's happened to me. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm just like, just at that moment, I'm like, man, my God is way bigger than I thought. Right. Like, I didn't think this was ever going to happen. I was almost certain he was ignoring me.
I think, sorry, go ahead, Ben. Well, I think kind of to
try to wrap this up. So I think ultimately what he's proposing here, the ability to accept people I formerly judged, I get it. Like, realistically, I get where he's coming from. I can understand it. Like, I think we bear some responsibility on how we've represented that, because often we've disassociated things that Christ said from Christ. And as opposed to introducing them to Jesus, we've introduced the things that Jesus said and done without them understanding Christ. And without that, the context is king there, literally. And so to that, hey.
Thank you. See what you did there.
Thank you.
Well done.
Run a Jesus radio show.
I make the big money. So, however, it is a false dichotomy to say that to love Jesus, I have to reject people. It's just a misunderstanding.
It's just flat out not true.
Yeah, it's not accurate. It doesn't mean it doesn't. In reality, that's not what is happening. I get that part. But it is a false dichotomy.
I'm glad this guy was able to give up on that.
I'm
really excited about the fact that this guy gave up on a third thing we're really excited about him giving up on.
It is. This is the third nice one job. In a row where he's like, I'm giving up on these parts of religion. Hey, we're like, sure.
Sounds good.
I feel like we're going to agree with a lot of this list. It's like, hey, man, I'm super excited you stepped away from religion and stopped judging people randomly. Great job throwing down the sign that God hates enter name here. Thank you. We appreciate you're doing more work for God by stepping back from that.
He's the best evangelist at time.com.
Exactly. You're doing a lot better than 90% of the people holding signs. Nice job, man.
All right. So anyway, if you want to read ahead, we got seven more to go, excuse me. And we're going through what I gained when I lost my religion. It's on time.com. If you want to search for that, you can read ahead, decide whether we're completely way off. By the way, as in everything that comes out of our mouths, be a good Berean and make sure you vouch everything we've said with Scripture. If it sounds wrong and the Bible says otherwise, go with that. We're just a bunch of shifty guys running an internet radio program, and there's no reason to take that above anything that the Lord has actually said. So anyway, keep that in good heart. All right, let's get back to our guest. So I kind of want to put like a title in front of your name, like Dr. Mending Hope. I don't know why I want to do that. It's just
Doctor. What the heck?
It just sounds.
I'm like nothing. I don't even look like a doctor. You know what I mean? Like
anyway. So we're gonna get to know Professor Mending Hope more.
Okay, I can deal with
that.
Do
you like that better?
I like Professor Mending Hope
okay,
better.
Okay, so maybe tell us a bit more about your story. Like, how did you, when you were a baby Mending Hope, how did you end up here? what has God done with your life that you're in this chair?
Okay, well, honestly, I'll make this really short. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and life was just really rough for me growing up and everything. When I was baby Mending Hope, actually, like I said, I was born here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So, you know, I am a true Hawkeye, which is awesome.
Ow.
And, it's awesome. Yeah. Ow. Woo. Yeah. So, I lived here for a little while. Then we moved to Michigan and then moved to, Washington and then, moved to Ohio, because, some family problems going on. And so, when I was in Washington, I started this ministry, and it wasn't until actually I got out of jail that I started this thing. Actually, I was in it, and the Lord actually laid on my heart to open the book of Genesis, and he led me to circumcision, and I'm like, why would I want to read about that?
I hear
you. And I swear, dude, like from that moment, like from like the first half of Exodus, I just kept reading. Everything that was in there is like, man, I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling robbed, I'm feeling destroyed, I feel like there's like nothing for me, you know. And so like it just really encouraged me, and so like I just started writing all my feelings down into rhymes, and I didn't think I was gonna do anything with it. And actually we shifted, and actually Mending Hope was a joke. It started off as a joke.
Uh-huh.
Because I was working with my friend, and we were gonna do a fake rap or a funny rap, you know.
Yeah.
And we started making this beat, and it's for my very first song that I wrote. And I was like, dude, we could do something with this. Like, this is something that could, like, I could just, you know, I had these lyrics and stuff. And just pour my heart out in this thing, and dude, it turned out phenomenal, man. Like it was, it's really cool, you know. So when I was doing that, every show that I got was by word of mouth. Cause like I would do a show, and then it's like, dude, you got to see this guy perform. He's a big guy, but man, he has got like the most energy in the world, you know, like, and it's just cool because like, it's not like I do only hip hop. I try to mix everything in it, you know, like yeah. I mix dubstep, rock, pop, hip hop, you know, I mean, everything, worship. And it's cool because you don't see a whole lot of hip hop guys that do worship, you know? I mean, so it's just really cool to like go out there, present myself and just give it all, you know, because I feel like I'm in debt to give that back to God because he gave everything, you know, on the way to Calvary. So it's like, you know, the Lord has done so many awesome things. And, you know, the coolest story that has ever happened to me is the night that 27 kids gave their life to the Lord at one time.
Oh, sweet.
And so, like, it was just like, boom, Holy Spirit just, like, dropped down. And I'm, like, I'm crying. I'm trying to pray to these kids. And I don't know what to say. And it's just, man, it was awesome. It was cool.
So that was a well, tell me a little bit about that show. Like, was it?
Okay. Well, actually, it was in a jail.
Okay.
So, like, I go in there, and and there's these kids from, like, 14 to 17. And then when they leave there, they go to prison. Because they're in there for, like, murder and, you know, all kinds of really, really bad crimes, you know. And all I was there was just to share my testimony, share my experience, share my music and my heart with these kids. And I never in a million years would have ever expect to do an altar call like that. Like, I just was, like, I was in so much awe. Like, I was like, dude, I can't top this. Like, there's no way. And then throughout the years, we've had gang members give their lives, like, full-blown gang members come to concerts with, like, guns in their, you know, their shorts or their pants or whatever. And then, like, I've done homeless ministries. I've seen God do so many awesome things in the homeless ministry. It is amazing. I love doing homeless ministry, you know, because you go out there and it's not like, oh, I'm just this hip-hop guy or this rapper. It's like, I'm out here to, you know, spread the love, spread the hope. It's kind of why I go by spread the hope, you know. And so the whole Mending Hope thing, actually, I wrote 3 songs before I even came up with a name.
Yeah.
So, like, I actually called my mom. I'm like, Mom, what's a cool hip-hop name? And she's like, I don't know. I was talking to my friend. I said, man, I want something with hope in it. I want to give people hope.
Yeah.
And he goes, what about, like, finding hope or bringing hope? And I'm like, dude, what about, like, mending hope? Like, you're mending wounds and you're giving people hope. And I thought, dude, that's a pretty sick name.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was just like, wow. And, you know, ever since, like, 2010, you know, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. It's just like so many things have just happened, and it's just, it's amazing.
Cool.
It's amazing, man. So, like, it's cool to see, like, how God has used me to, like, and I'm not going to say I've changed anybody, but God has used me to change a lot of people, you know? And so, like, it's cool because I actually got a phone call last night at midnight from this secular DJ that I used to play with. And he goes, dude, I need a man of God right now. I need you to call me. And I'm like, whoa. Like, so like, that was really cool. Like, to hear that. So it's like, wow. Like, I really feel really good. It's like, God, man, you're really using me to, like, reach somebody who's, like, you know, really deep in the muck, you know? And it's like, you know, here I am reaching my hand and trying to just pull him up and just be like, yo, man, I'm here to love you. I ain't here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care if you've been locked up. I don't care if, you know, if you grew up in a bad, you know, childhood or whatever. I'm like, I'm just here to love you. I'm here to share my story with you and help you in any way that I can.
Yeah.
And so it's just cool to see, you know, that even though I didn't want to do a hip hop ministry, I wanted to do a metal ministry.
Yeah.
But God was like, no, I'm going to have you do this. And I'm like, oh, geez, I don't really know nothing about hip hop except the gangster stuff that I used to listen to.
Right.
So, like, it's just cool to see how God is really, like, he's been molding me, you know, and just, like, it just seems like every time, like, I get a show or an opportunity, it's, like, by word of mouth or, you know, emails or Facebook or whatever, and it's just like, wow, like, man, God is, like, using me, like, in ways I didn't even expect.
That's crazy. So maybe give us a little taste of your rhymes. Let's see what you've gone from metal to this.
Okay.
Let's see what you got.
Well, okay, I'm going to spit this. This is an older song. I'll just spit a verse here called Never Going Back.
Uh-huh.
And just about never going back to that lifestyle, never going back to that old life that you were living.
Yep.
And so the verse goes, I once was living a life of crime, but now I'm wishing I could turn back the hands of time. Wishing I could rewind, but now I'm living for Christ, and I'm trying to do everything right. I never plan on going back. This is me.
All right. All right, yeah.
I hope you can see I'm arguing for a plea, but the game was still played and set into motion. I was stuck in the darkness with distortion. He came to me through a movie when Jesus laid his life down. We were free. It's why you won't find me going back to the old me or chilling with the fake homies. So how can you say that life's not fair when the creator of life gave you air? Lord, bring me back to... Oh, shoot.
You said it was an old one.
I messed up.
That's right. It happens when you go to the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
You don't keep it all. All right. I like it. I like the tenor of it. Wait, did it say that it brought you in through a movie?
Yeah. Actually, The Passion of the Christ changed my life.
It does that, doesn't it? Holy cats, that movie.
I tell you what, man. I had drugs in my car. I had stuff like, and I went with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and it's like, it was me, her, and my mom, and my brother. And I was just like, dang, like, just seeing him, like, you know. Everyone's like, oh, man, it's such a, teary movie, you're going to cry. And I'm like, yeah, right, you know. It's just about Jesus dying, you know. And so I'm going into that with this mentality. And I'm like sobbing. I'm like, ooh. And I'm like using my sleeves and everything, like, you know, because I run out of tissues. And so it's just crazy, man. Like, I just, it's nuts.
Wait, that means you brought tissues in with you?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, man, that was smart.
Well, that's awesome. So
that was my mom, actually. She's like, you might need some of this, and I'm like, okay,
moms
whatever.
Know everything.
Love you, mom.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So you can pick up music from Mending Hope at the show. So you're gonna have to either hook up with him via email, or you can catch him at the live show. What's the name of the place in Lawrence?
Grace Evangelical Presbyterian Church.
That place. Yeah. Well,
can we just call it like Ron's house or something?
GEPC. It's Grace.
Grace Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Lawrence.
Kansas.
In Lawrence, Kansas. You can run into all these guys will be there. If you want to dig on some recorded action from Mending Hope, you can pick it up from the show.
Yeah, or you could, you know, email me on Facebook or email me on my email. You know, check me out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. YouTube. I said YouTube already. Sorry.
Couple of YouTubes.
What about YouTube?
YouTube.com, YouTube.net.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Let's talk to King MC a little bit. So, kind of the same question is, you were born buck wild nude, and now you're sitting in this chair. What are the relevant points of your life that got you here?
That's pretty much it. I just wandered in. I was like, hey, where are these guys going? And
this looks a nice building.
I was like, oh, water.
We're thankful you put some clothes on.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, I guess you could say I grew up Christian. Mm-hmm. I don't like saying that because it's not true. You know, it's like I went to church as a kid, but I didn't realize this until after I got saved that my church didn't actually talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, as a lot of churches are today. We actually had a series on Harry Potter.
Okay.
and finding morality in the Harry Potter series. My pastor's up there doing this. Every once in a while, Jesus got mentioned. But after high school, all my friends went to college. My girlfriend broke up with me. And I just went into this deep depression, and it was almost like a year-long depression, and I didn't want to live anymore, and I didn't have anything to live for, and I plotted it out. I knew exactly what I was going to do, when I was going to do it, and, you know, how I was going to do it, and it got to that day, and I was just sitting in my room, and I just cried out to God. I was like, if you are real, I need you right now. And he came, and it was like something I've never experienced before. It's like I finally understood who he was. I knew of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus.
Right.
And so, because of that, I was able to get to know him now.
Right.
And it's it it hasn't been easy. It's never easy, you know, and he doesn't want it to be easy. He doesn't want you to just be drinking on milk. He wants you to be eating the meat also. Yep. And that's what my life has been, my journey. It's like I've been homeless twice in my life. Once was not my fault. It was when I was a kid, and the other time it was my fault. And I've grown in from that, and he's brought me out of that. And so, you know, it's just, and I just had all this in me, all these feelings in me, and that's how I started writing and wanting to get that out and wanting to share him, because he impacted me, so I want to impact other people with him.
Boy, that's a thank you for sorry.
Did I say any words we have to bleep out?
No. Okay, good. No, those are great. Sorry, I was just, there's a lot of relevance to some of the stuff that you're talking about that we've been interacting with lately, and there's just a lot about that story that strips away a lot of the stuff that I think we run into with lists, we run into with just church stuff, and it brings it back to you know, what are we really talking about? We're talking about people connecting with their creator. I had something else I was going to ask you, and then I kind of got distracted because that was...
So I want to know, how did you get involved with music then? I mean, because it sounds like you had a pretty rocky road there, and especially I'm trying to think, like when you're homeless, you don't have access to a lot of things that, like, my daughter goes to a public school and has an instrument she wants just kind of given to her, you know,
right,
lent to her. But how did you turn to music to...
I've always loved music. I grew up listening to, like, my first album was Michael Jackson, and so I love Michael Jackson. And then I just started listening to, like, a lot of R&B, which turned into hip-hop, and I just started listening to rap music and realizing that I could do it. It was like what Mending Hope was saying, you know, a white boy rapping. But I actually didn't know that I couldn't do this, because there were white boys rapping that I saw. There was Third Bass, Young Black Teenagers, even Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for all of Vanilla Ice's jokes and everything about that, he could still rap.
Yeah.
And so there were that. So I didn't know that I couldn't. And then, so I just did it, and I started writing it. And then, you know, after I got saved and after I went to Rebecca St. James for advice, she steered me along the path, and I just started dedicating it all to Jesus. So,
you know, what's pretty cool about that story, and actually it's actually semi-convicting to me personally at the moment, but like it makes me wonder how much faith I have that God's going to show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to do a lot of work in a lot of areas, and I don't know that a lot of the time I really believe that God's going to show up, if I'm being honest. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I don't know. It really kind of hits home that, like, of all the things that I know are true and the things that I don't put into practice, knowing, you know, that God's going to show up. I don't know. I just think that I'm a bit bereft of, you know, comic jabs at the moment. Because, I mean, I just find it to be totally true, and a huge void that I think maybe that I don't put near enough thought in, that, like, of all the things that I promise, that Jesus is promising, is that just the fact that he's going to show up, I kind of hold back sometimes, you know? So I don't know. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, there's nothing about what you believe that would make you think, no, I don't think this is true. But, like, how much is the truth of that, like, the real reliance on God showing up, gauge your actions on a day-to-day basis, right? Do I act like God will show up, or do I act like a guy that knows that, is confident in it, and would tell anybody that? But if I couldn't say anything, if my life, someone was watching my life with the volume turned down, do they see a guy, they would say, yeah, he acts like God's going to show up. I can tell by what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably ran into that myself.
I feel like I should, I mean, like, if I was going to sell a cheesy Christian t-shirt, it would just say God showed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know who he was, and then I did. He showed up. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Cheesyshirts.com.
I got a couple in mind. We got to make Boovas. I've had it up to here with Zacchaeus.
It's awesome, man. It's going to make me millions.
Okay, well, would you mind sharing just a little bit of your music with us?
Yeah, sure. Okay, this verse I'm going to do, I'm actually a feature on one of my friend's upcoming albums. His name's Marcus J. So there's your plug right there, Marcus. And this song is called On the Rise. This is my verse for it. I'ma rise up, you better keep your eyes up, or you'll miss the side of my fighters as we line up. We're gonna ride up to the riot, giving in to sin and it's thinning out like a diet. They tell me to be quiet, not quite yet. I'm gonna keep fighting giants till there's no fight left, cause I was so lifeless, now my soul's righteous. I was awakened from the dead like Snow White's kiss, and I'ma rise like my city. These binds never fit me, it's fitting in the ending. I'm taking what they didn't give me, defending the soft spoken, mending the heartbroken, giving them all hope and something they never chosen. You'll take notice when lives change, you may think you know the game, but the rules ain't the same. You spend your days chasing fame, but I drive in a different lane. Go ahead and close the drapes, but you'll miss something great.
All right. Nice. That was on the market. What's the title of that Marcus J. cut?
That's called On the Rise.
On the Rise.
But that's not out. It's not out yet. Well, shoot, he's releasing, man, it next year. So, but
come on, Marcus. Will you get your head in the game? Try to sell stuff.
They're going
to
be bootlegging verses for the internet radio program.
That right there just completely killed my rapping career.
Yeah, it did.
I just now realized I'm never going to be that.
That's sad, right? Like, I was digging on the lyrics. I'm like, right, I bet I could do. No.
Nope.
No, I couldn't do that.
Nope.
Wait, hey, man, I could do some. Nope.
Nope.
Not me. Nope. I'm going to step back.
So you can find more from King MC. You can check him out on Facebook. And the website again was?
KingMCMusic.com.
KingMCMusic.com. Make sure you check that out. I tell you this every time, guys, but like, make sure you're interacting with these guys. They're out there working hard. They have a special, not only a special gift from God, but they have access to tell stories and give hope to people
that find you fraudulent.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That won't take you serious, regardless of where your heart's at. That's just the truth, right? We're running into that. We see that now with the guys from the Thankful Leper. That guy's he's been homeless. He's lived there. And like, regardless of where my heart's at, that he just has different access to people that are still in that than I do. And so the question is, how can you support people that are able to communicate with people in that way, that have been through those circumstances in ways that I couldn't? And each of these guys has that ability. They have unique circumstances. They have unique ways of talking about those things and about Jesus into people that could really hear it. And if that's where your heart is at, but it's not where your opportunity is at, how can you best help them do those things? And so a lot of that is interacting with them, helping people come out to their shows, making sure to hit their shows, supporting their music, sharing their stuff online and through whatever means possible. You can help those guys out as they further the kingdom, and you're furthering the kingdom through those things as well. So make sure you guys get out and do that with those guys. Okay, I'm moving to the left. It's on the. We're a radio program. They don't know that.
No.
Moving to the left. All right. Same basic story. You were born fully clothed. It's an enigma in life.
Yeah.
But you've still ended up here, sitting in the studio on a chair. So tell me a little bit about how you got into what you're doing. What God's got going on in your life, that kind of stuff. Hit me up.
Well, I guess, yeah, I'll just start at the very beginning. I was born in a Christian home with five siblings. I'm the youngest, or I guess there's five of us. But we're all musical, so that's kind of.
Do you count your family on a regular basis?
Huh?
Do you count people in your family on a regular basis, like an inventory?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many we got? Okay, good.
Continue on with your story.
Well, there's seven. No, we're not gonna go there. But yeah, my parents met in a band called Desperado, based off the Eagles song. So we were kind of destined to be musical. But my siblings just really encouraged me growing up to be musical. I'm actually a percussionist, so I'm not doing that anymore. But probably when I was like seven is when I started writing music. And just when I was seven, it was just like about, you know, girls and, you know, second.
You were writing about girls when you were seven?
Dude, yeah.
Man,
I had no.
You've ruined me. I have a seven-year-old daughter. I'm like, this isn't a problem yet. And then we got dudes like you.
Hey, heads up, River City boys hanging around.
It's definitely a problem, Mike.
Hey, my biggest crushes were 7 and 8 years old.
Man. Yeah, but that wasn't that like an old.
I mean, I didn't tell her about it.
An older lady or something?
No, no, it was like a girl in my class. I was like,
older lady. Like
a
teacher or something?
Those are a bunch of creepers.
I'm sorry.
All right, Ben, you stay out of this conversation from now on.
Fair enough.
All right, River City. Hit us with the rest of your story.
Well, yeah. Well, then I kind of started thinking girls were gross. And
okay, now we're talking.
Kept trying.
Back to basics.
So, well, really, my challenging, I don't have any crazy story, but what really was my challenging part of life was being the youngest. I really just loved my family and always rely on my family. So when everyone got older and moved out, my sister Hannah's been singing with me at these concerts on this tour, and she's like 4 years older. So everyone got old, they moved out, they got busy or something. So I was kind of left alone in the house, and that was just a bummer for me, just always having someone there. So that's when I just decided to pick up a guitar. I didn't know anything. I came up with some chords randomly. But that's when I started writing. When hard times came around, I went to music. So music and basketball are actually, they're actually my two things that got me through like middle school and stuff. So,
I feel like music made the Bible. Basketball did not.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, not as much.
Hey, sorry for a quick distraction. I went out to eat somewhere on Sunday, and there was some guy produced some kind of Jesus magazine, and they said that the Bible mentions dogs like 400 sometimes and no cats.
That's great. I hate cats.
Yeah, that's great. I don't like what you're saying.
We had two cats and we got rid of them.
Yeah. I think that's harsh. you were in the Bible.
Well, now
get out.
Now I can wear black clothes because yeah, we had white cats.
Neither was my grandpa. Now what do I do?
That's rough times. All right. So tell me about the song you're gonna do.
I actually changed it while we were sitting in here.
I love it.
You said unsure.
Uh-huh.
And we looked at each other. I have a song called Unsure. It's like a hip, like Jack Johnson type song.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying I can, like, I write stuff like banana pancakes, and I can't make banana pancakes
hey,
either. But
here's the deal. Nobody listens to the program, so this is the time to make bold claims. If you're like,
go.
I'm like a Jack Johnson.
I am Jack Johnson. There
you go. I pretty much am Jack Johnson. I didn't want the social stigma with changing my name halfway through my career.
Okay, so what's this? Tell me a little bit about what the song is about.
Well, it's called Unsure.
Uh-huh.
But it's just about how you just have hard times and you don't know exactly what to do and you are unsure, but you know, God's there to help you through that. So
okay, sweet. You're listening to River City Boy, you're listening to Live from the Path. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this thing. You're listening to Live from the Path.
You don't know where to go from here, 'cause you can't see through anything and everything's unclear. And you are getting tangled in your thoughts, so just relax and shake it off. Take this hand and let it guide you, trust and please stand firm. How are you supposed to know what to do and what you don't need to do? And if you are calling me, how am I supposed to know where you're leading? So please make it clear, I trust you will in due time. Where is this peace of mind? Please calm these nerves of mine. 'Cause with no direction I miss a conception of waiting for you to guide me through these things that I am missing, that I'm not seeing. So I'll leave it in your hands, 'cause you know.
Yeah.
Woo! That was Unsure. And hey, man, I love that stuff. It's good.
I love everybody.
Yeah, no, that's good. Hey, you've been listening to Live from the Path. We've got still got a little bit more show. If you're listening on 99.3 KTA, we've got to let you go. Anyway. You're gonna have to listen to the podcast. You want to hear an update on Thankful Left for Stuff. Mike's got some post-style advice. We got some Dear Life from the Past still coming up. And make sure you sign up for that audio podcast, livefromthepath.org. There'll be clips from the show, including interviews with past artists. And I don't know, the past few weeks of us talking about that time.com guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, whatever. Go on with your life. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Hey man, if you guys, if you're watching the live show, sorry about that. I don't know, roughly 5 to 7 minute gap.
Yeah, here's the deal. If we took donations, now would be the time.
Yeah, actually, so like if you ever looked at the show online, you saw the picture and you're like, hey man, that looks like a shifty operation. You've pegged it correctly.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
That's what goes on in here.
Yeah, and like here's the deal. If we're being honest, like Christian media in general has they have a bit of a hard time. Because it's like most of your favorite Christian radio stations are right. Like twice a year they come up with like the praise-a-thon or the worship-a-thon or whatever. And then it's like 2 weeks of them, you know, trying to get money out of you. And I thought, we talked about it when we started the show and we're like, we just don't want to do that.
$1,000 for an apostle.
$1,000 makes you an apostle.
Be in the, give it the apostle level.
And so we're like, we just don't want to do that. Right. Like we feel like we can operate on the radio. We can get legit advertisement. And if the Lord is not behind what we're doing, then we won't. And then we won't have a show and whatever. It's fine, you know. And so far, we subsist on the Lord's providence in that area. We have some very faithful advertisers that advertise on the show. And it, to be honest, it's just what keeps us running. And frankly, it just takes care of our radio time most of the time. It's what puts us on the air. And so, like, we don't do the donation thing. We're like, you know, God will handle it. And so because of that, you get some computer crashes every once in a while. And so you're just going to have to be all right with that because you're live from the path.
Yeah, you know, that's true. That's what happens when you're live from the path. And roll with it like I do. Yeah.
Thanks for loving us.
Yeah, we're fine with it.
I got knee sweat about it, but, like, I mean, nothing that produces a note.
What? Yeah.
You ever know your knees? Whatever, Boova, like your knees don't sweat.
My knees don't sweat.
That's what people say when they haven't come to terms.
Here's
with
the deal.
Their
my wife,
sweating.
I mean, I can't really.
My
feel
wife
my
traded
knees
in our regular deodorant for some kind of stone that you wet.
Yes, the stone.
Hold on. This is going to be okay. So before the stone, right? We've had many iterations of deodorant at our place. Before that, we made our own, and it was like a baking soda combo with some kind of smelly thing.
Which is wrong.
And it was in a Tupperware container. And so here's what you had to do. You had to scoop it out with your hand and, like, put it in there.
that is so far from gross, man.
It really felt, I mean, legitimately felt like a mouse had vomited in your armpit. That was what it felt like. And I thought, I don't feel ready for the day. I feel like I put a piece of pie in there and then moved my arm back and forth. But here's the deal. I love my wife, and this stuff works legitimate, right? It was my own misgivings on this paste deodorant that I wasn't willing to scoop it out and shove it in there. But like, and frankly, I mean, it saved money. It worked just fine. You know, it was me that just screwed this up because I frankly just refused. I'm like, give me the guy that sells commercial bad for you deodorant. That's what I want.
Yeah. What's the Mitchum? So great you can skip a day.
Yeah. I'm the skip a day man. Give me that stuff.
Whatever chemicals stuff up the pores and don't allow my body to do what it's naturally supposed to do. That's what I'm for.
Give me that stuff. You know, the stuff right out of Chernobyl. I'll put it on there. You know? So anyway, the stone. Okay, hold on. Here's the review
that's
of the stone.
That's not a town, right?
What?
Was Chernobyl the name of the place and the town?
Yeah.
Chernobyl, Russia.
What was it? Pirpit was the city like outside of Chernobyl, right?
Yeah. No, the facility was Chernobyl.
And it was in Pirpit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I straightened
There's
this
no
out.
One here to rectify if you're saying the right thing or not.
Herrick knows what I'm talking about.
He just agreed with everything you said. That makes him untrustworthy.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, the stone's working out okay. So if you're against buying a regular old school deodorant, you know, get yourself any stone. I think any stone will do it.
What?
And just get it wet.
I can pick up any rock, put some water on it, and shove it on an armpit and smell
fresh.
That's
as far as I've looked into it. I'm not sure.
Okay. That sounds all right. Is that your Pope style?
No.
use a stone for a pit detractor?
So my Pope style advice is actually not very long, but it has to do with I was actually talking to Ben earlier today. We were discussing some stuff to do with working with the homeless over the weekend and some other things that we were kind of involved in. And I got off the phone, and I had that conversation in front of some fellas at work, and they said, who were you talking to? And I said, well, I'm talking to my brother. And they're like, well, we thought you were talking to a Jesus man. I said, I was. He said, well, why were you yelling? I said, what do you mean? I said, he's my brother, and he's a Jesus man. What's the problem? He goes, you don't talk like any other Christian I've ever met. And I thought through the conversation in my head. I'm like, I know I didn't swear. And what did I say? You know, and like apparently, like their version of someone that loves Jesus is some kind of, I don't know, piece of paper with the lips on it that like doesn't do anything, and it's like they're just really stoic and like, man, I thought I feel like you're missing the entire joy of life if you can't get fired up every once in a while about doing something. And so I thought, I talked to him a little bit afterwards with a little bit more serious tone, but like I think my Pope style advice is that realize when you're talking to people about Christ, you're inviting them to be part of the kingdom of God, right? And like, don't sell them a false product. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell them something that it ain't. Tell them the truth. And like, if there's joy in your life, tell them there's joy in your life. If there's sadness in your life, tell them there's sadness in your life, right? Don't paint a phony picture where it's either A, unbelievable, or B, seems really lame. Like, I feel like that was most of like my upbringing in church. I think I kind of had a lot of the same story as like, I knew who Jesus was, but I did not know him. Right, because like the product that I think that was being sold, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I should be better, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like good times, you know. And so I don't know. I think my Pope style advice is like, make sure you understand the entire breadth of the kingdom that you're offering. Like, there's people in this room with stories that I don't have that show the glory of God that I can't show. It's just like what like Ben was talking with the thankful leper and the way they interact with the homeless people. Or other ministries that interact with groups of people that I don't have the background and I don't have that. And like, just because I don't have that experience doesn't mean that it's not part of the full kingdom of God to offer.
Right.
And so like, I think a lot of people get that messed up. Like a lot of, and some of that's on our generation, because a lot of people that are sharing the gospel there's a huge age gap, right? They're willing to do it with the way that they've matured in Christ, and like, their lifestyle and mine is 30 years apart. And yeah, that's not to say that their testimony about Christ and the things that they've brought into their life is illegitimate. It just means that I can't relate. Like, I just can't see what you're saying, you know? And so, like, I try to go above – I shouldn't say above. I say, but out of my way to find people that are a step above me, a step below me, and kind of where I'm at. And those are, like, the people that I try to keep – I use to keep me accountable – to the way that I live my life for Christ, right? Like, I can help talk to people who have not quite been where I am yet and help guide them through that. I can talk to people on my level that say, look, I'm struggling with this, having a hard time with this, I'm being a coward here, I need you to help me. And then I can find a guy above me that says, look, you know, your kids are 15, 16, 17, I'm heading up on that age, you know, you got any advice for me, right? And so, you know, basically long story short is like, if you're going to talk to somebody about Christ, talk to them about Christ and talk to them about the kingdom that we're offering, not just your section of it, because there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And there's it's an everybody welcome kind of deal, right? And so, like, there's people that are doing what your buddy does for the kingdom of God and for his glory. And just because it ain't you doesn't mean that he doesn't have somewhere to be.
Right, and that's not an experience of the kingdom. And, you know, one of the things I think we're going to be careful of is, you know, I don't know, kind of like what we were talking about. It's like, I don't have the same background and story as Mending Hope. I don't have the same background and story as King MC. But like, there's that God's story is all of those.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it, like where their opportunity is different than mine. It doesn't mean because I was thinking a little bit about you, because like, we share similar backgrounds. And like, sometimes there have been times in my life. There's a couple guys in church where, like, I mean. Jesus has done some fierce things in these guys' lives. And I there's every once in a while I'm like, man, I wish kind of I had a drug problem and had gone to prison so that I could for legit reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I want my life to be that, like, that guy's got such a cool story of what God has done. But the deal is like, there's a couple of things there. One, I haven't it's a testimony to God, like, I haven't been in that position. And that doesn't mean that God's hand hasn't been there. Like, that's foolish. And second of all, I feel from this chair in the life that I live, I feel like there are 10,000 of me sitting somewhere who missed Jesus when they were growing up, who thought they knew Jesus and didn't know him. And that's interesting, right? Because you can share that from any background. But like, I can have none of the things that people would want to look at my life and say, oh, guy, that guy's had a hard luck story, right? I don't have it.
No.
But you know what? I still miss Jesus. And there's a 10,000 guys in my sphere of influence that would be sitting in the same chair, and that's the opportunity that I have, right? And we have the opportunity to amplify stories from people who live differently in the kingdom, but live part of that same kingdom. And so I don't know. I was thinking. I just had you on the mind because I thought we put you in a rough spot, right? Because you follow two guys who had some distinct stories, but your story it's still a kingdom story, right? Like it's still God doing what He does, and it's the same opportunity to both amplify the stories of others, but be part of the Christian story yourself. And like to be honest, most of the people that are listening to this show right now are sitting in that boat, or sitting in my chair, or sitting in that chair. And don't pale your life as a story of the kingdom, because of that either. Like that's the same opportunity.
No, it's the truth, and actually it's stories like that. Like and Ben's right. Like we run like running being part of this show and being part of some of the stuff that we get involved with. The testimonies are broad. I mean, they're all over the map on how God saved people, right? And how and what they came out of and what they came from. But like it's to be honest with you, like the Bible has put forth a pretty straightforward picture on what God's grace can do, right? So there's not a whole bunch of stories that I'm like, I can't believe God can do that, right? Like I totally believe that, but it's the guy that was faithful since he was like five that blows me away. Like if I'm being honest, like I'm just like, really? Like you've been with this your whole life, you stuck with it, and like the Lord, you've never felt like the Lord has failed you, and you're bailing, and you're out, and you're gonna go, and they're like, no, I feel like I've just put my faith in Christ since I was a young man and or a young woman, and like I've just been blessed and I've had joy ever since. And I'm like, no kidding. You know what I'm saying? Like that stuff just seems to blow me away. Like I have a harder time swallowing that than some of the other, you know, the big grace stories. And like I'm not really sure why. And I feel like it's probably because I didn't make that, right? Like I was introduced to Christ when I was younger and like I didn't tow it. Like, I left it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this, you know? And so people that did something opposite of what I did and there was still joy there, I don't know. It's humbling is basically what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got time for, like, one Dear Life in the Path.
Okay, let's hit it up. Ready? Dear. I didn't have it ready. I'm just kind of stalling. Dear Life from the Path. Still stalling. It's loading. Here we go. My husband recently passed away. And among his papers, I discovered an evidence of another previous marriage. It came as a shock to me because he never told me. Should I ask his family how long this previous marriage lasted? Or should I let it go and be grateful for the good and loving husband he was during our 27 years together? He was a widower with no kids, and I was a widow when we met. What do you think?
Wait a minute. If
he's a widower?
Yeah, if she knew he was a widower, doesn't that imply he was married?
I think she's now finding out.
That's
that he's
a retrospective
widower.
Yeah. Anecdote.
She's saying now I know he is a widower.
Oh, the previous
I
wife
thought he was just a single
away.
Dude when
yeah.
I met him.
Oh.
So
okay.
She's trying to figure out, hey, now that I know my husband was a widower when I met him, should I ask his family about that family?
How old? Do we have an idea how old?
No.
They were married 27 years, so
this, widower
this
twice.
Couple were.
Yeah.
So.
Or she's the widower twice.
Here's the deal. I would say that depends entirely on where your heart is in that. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
be very interested to know. There's nothing. It's not nefarious or anything. It's just it's another marriage that the man had. The woman died. He remarried. There's nothing wrong with any of that.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know what kind of life he led.
He kept it a secret from her.
No, that is weird.
Maybe it was like a yeah, deep pain he never
nefarious.
Really dealt with. You know. I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm with her. That sounds weird.
I kind of forgot that part.
Yeah.
Shoot, that does change everything I said. Now I look like a fool.
Yeah. Regardless of what the perspective is of this guy being nefarious or not, I think that it really depends on her relationship with the family. If it's going to be something that's going to cause a big rift in your relationship with his family and stuff like that, you know, honestly, it's just for your informational purposes. It probably wouldn't be best to destroy that relationship. But if you have a relationship with that family to where, hey, you know, mother-in-law Sandy, you know, I found out about John's previous wife, and I want to know, can you tell me about her? What was going on
how
with
did,
that?
I'm interested now. Like, how did that go? Hey, you haven't been married before? Nope. What did you spend the last 20 years of your life doing? Not your business. Anyway, let's get hitched, babe. Like,
then that's on her if she went, sweet.
How do you hide a
works
marriage?
For me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of strange that his family didn't never even mentioned it to her. So it's like
right.
the
yeah.
entire
the whole
family kept it a secret.
Everybody's behind it.
Yeah. So I don't even know if you would go to his
yeah.
his side of the family
that's
and go,
a
what's
good
up?
Point.
I didn't even think about it.
Because everybody's been keeping that from you.
So that's right.
Her mother-in-law, Sandy, you're rude.
Yeah.
Gone and forgotten.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
No, there's something stinky going on here.
Shoot, I didn't even think about the family.
Yeah.
That's a good
Everybody
point.
Everybody had to be. Unless, like, you know, what if he hauled off to Vegas, got married for a day, and I don't know why he'd keep the paper. Yeah, something stinky going on here. I'd find out what's up. Ah, crap, you're right. You got to depend on where your heart's at. I don't want to know. What am I going to do with that information?
It's not married for a day if he's a widower. So it means that the previous
unless
wife
it lasted
died.
A while, she
well,
died.
Well, if they went to Las Vegas, she could have yeah. died in Vegas.
Yeah, Harry. Where's that?
And stayed in Vegas.
Could what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It could be a Jewish fiance.
All right.
I think it really boils down to if it's really going to bother you. I mean, your imagination can make things worse than it really was.
Yeah.
I would have to know. I'd just be curious. That doesn't take away the 27 years you had together. I mean, it's odd. It would be weird. I mean,
well, it shouldn't.
I mean,
but
yeah,
I wonder if
he wasn't cheating on her. He just didn't tell her everything.
Yeah, but what else did he lie about? Odd. That's what would, that would lead me down the wrong rabbit trail. Like, what else did you lie to me about? That's a fairly major thing.
Okay, let me ask you this question. So let's say that I had, before I met my wife, I had published a book of erotica.
What?
Stay with me. Stay with me.
Okay. Where is this going?
Am I required?
He's only 17. Remember this, okay?
No, we gotta keep this clean.
Am I required to say that to her? Let's say I die.
That's a little different than being married.
Yeah. Well, what if she's,
I don't
at,
know why
what if she's at the Barnes and Noble
that's
and then she sees your
exactly
name?
That's exactly right. I don't see it. I think that's
it wasn't popular.
It would be relevant to a publisher, yes, but to a wife, no.
I feel
but
like
we're
that's
talking
a,
about marriage.
Yeah,
marriage.
But that's legitimate. I feel like that's a good example. That's a fairly big thing to know that a man has done.
It changes something. It doesn't change that we were married for 40 years, but you're like, hey, I never knew he published erotica.
That's,
I'm just saying.
I feel I like think, that is apples to apples.
I think the moral of the story is if you're going to publish something like that, use an alias so your wife doesn't stumble upon it at
I
the Barnes & Noble. Sweetie,
I didn't have any reason to run from it at the time.
Why is Fabio on the cover of your book?
I think they just have some interesting and odd communication skills that lasted 27
right.
years, but it still, it doesn't take away. I mean, it doesn't, he wasn't cheating on her. He wasn't, we don't know,
we know
the, why she, he didn't say. Maybe the circumstances of her death were just horrific and, you know, taken out
yeah.
by a drone or something. I don't know. And
that was likely. She died in 1968, taken out by a
that'd
drone.
That'd be horrific. You don't know what a drone is?
It would be very horrific.
In
yeah.
Vegas.
In Vegas. Isn't there
fell
some
off
kind
a roller
of
coaster on top of a building
access?
And she went flying.
There's okay. got to be something that she can access to get
oh, yeah,
this information.
I think the question she was questioning whether she should do it. So bare bones, she comes and she presents this to you. What do you say, Mike?
I don't
you,
care.
You
do whatever you want. I feel like it's a either way.
Hey, I need help. Do what you want.
Do what you want.
Solid. Yeah. You're worth every bit of your $78 an hour.
Well, why don't you ask me a question that's relevant? Just do it or don't do it.
Completely
like
relevant to her.
That's like calling her. It's me. Call. It's like her calling me saying, "Hey, should I get a turkey or a ham sandwich?" I don't care. Pick one.
That's
wow.
the same distinction.
That's
do I investigate
whole,
my dead that, husband's previously secret marriage, or do I have a ham on rye?
Yeah. Here's the deal.
Hey, man, that decision is big.
The reason that's the exact same example is because you're trying to decide which one you will regret. And so if you can look
turkey.
At the ham and go, if I skip the ham, I will not regret it, the turkey's your answer. If you can look at this situation and go, if I don't find out, I won't regret it, then skip it.
Well, it's not a moral dilemma either way.
No, yeah.
It really
yeah.
is a personal preference.
The answer is turkey.
What will make you sleep better?
Turkey.
Turkey makes you sleep better.
Turkey does.
Turkey. All right, you want to hear secular's
answer? Yeah, secular's advice, yeah.
Secular says, your husband may have been divorced from wife number one, or the marriage could have been annulled, and he couldn't think it counted. While I agree that you should be grateful for the 27 happy years you spent together, I can't ignore the fact that such an important piece of information was withheld from you. If you have questions and think the family can answer them, you're entitled to know.
I thought she died.
Who?
The first wife. And secular's saying divorced. Maybe.
Yeah, she made it sound like it was a widower.
Yeah. She did say a widower.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so she died.
Secular's not a very
secular's
good listener.
Advice is not right.
No.
By the way, how legalistic is he didn't think it counted?
Yeah.
When communicating to your wife about previous marriages and things
I've
like that.
I've tried that with Jesus
I
a lot.
That
is not
counted.
The deal.
Yeah, right.
Lord, I told a lie. It was for the best.
It puts
yeah,
in,
right.
It puts in perspective that he yelled mulligan right before he said I do the second time.
The man's
oh,
not,
yeah.
He's not trustworthy.
Now I get it.
Okay, but that's the definition of annulled, is that it doesn't count.
So. I don't say. I told my girlfriend every relationship I ever had and every detail ever before we got very serious, just so she knew. Well, as we were getting more serious. Now, granted, the details were pretty boring, but, you know.
Yeah, we held hands in the movie theater once.
Sit still. We Burger shared King popcorn. Visit number 9.
But nonetheless, we had no, there would be nothing that could come out later to be like, what? Yeah. You did what?
I'm not hiding anything from you, except for this dead old woman in the basement.
She's still in the trunk of
it
my
didn't
car.
Count! Mulligan! Can't believe I claimed to write erotica. This is wrong. I gotta go. Hey, you've been listening to Life from the Path. A big thanks to Mending Hope, King MC, and River City Boy. Thank you guys so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Make sure you check them out in Lawrence, Kansas tomorrow. And then stalk them online so you know where they're going. Hit them up, buy their music, support what they got going on. Follow Jesus and have a good life. I love you. Have a good day.